بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين باعث الأنبياء والمرسلين ثم الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وسيد المرسلين حبيب إله العالمين المصطفى أبي القاسم محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المنتجبين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين إلى قيام يوم الدين السلام عليك يا مولاي يا أبا عبد الله السلام عليك يا ابن رسول الله يا شهيد كربلاء رزقنا الله في الدنيا زيارتكم وشفاعتكم في الدنيا والآخرة أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه المجيد وقرآنه الحميد وقوله الحق أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قال رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي صدق الله العلي العظيم صلوا على محمد وآل محمد Continuing with our discussion about the discovery Prophet Musa and the Imam al-Hussein alayhim as-salam, where we've discussed several stories from the life of Prophet Musa. And I hope so far we've been able to see how we can relate these stories to our day and age. As we discuss some of the issues that we are facing in our world today, especially the distortions, the attack on Islam, which has gotten to the point where some of us feel inferior. Consciously or unconsciously, we're starting to adopt some of these bombarded messages by abandoning the teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam and the religion of Islam. And sometimes the media, in its systematic depiction of Islam, amplifies, glorifies personalities, individuals who attack the religion, or those who attack religion in general. And last night we gave an example of how some scientists who might be physicists, they could be geneticists, who are prominent in their field of study. However, what those people do is through some of the theories that they study, they extrapolate to areas of metaphysics, areas of theology, philosophy that they are not expert at. But people, the general public, are not aware of this. So when they read their books, they think of these books as dogma. And we gave a couple of examples as how we can easily answer these arguments if we really just think for a few minutes. Continuing with our discussion tonight, we will take a look at the concept of dua that is taught to us through the prophets and the imams of Ahlul Bayt, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhim ajma'in. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Before I start the discussion though, it's noteworthy to mention this story also from the time of Musa alayhi salam. One day, Prophet Musa salamullahi alayhi asked Allah. He said, Ya Allah, show me an example of your rahmah, your mercy. I want to see it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, okay, watch. Just like you have satellite TV these days, where you can see something that could be happening remotely far away, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enabled Musa alayhi salam to see something happening far away. He saw it was late at night, a small hut that was next to a mountain. Inside it was a very old lady. This lady was waiting in the house or in the hut. Late at night, her son shows up. The son is drunk, intoxicated. The mother, with all love, with all compassion, looks at her son and says, Son, where were you? You stayed up so late. I was worried about you. I am staying up the night, concerned for your safety and well-being. The son, instead of thanking his mother, appreciating her, to the contrary, he scolds her, yells at her, and he beats her. Not only this, he takes her from the hut, drags her to the nearby mountain, and throws her on the rocks. And then he starts to come down, descending the mountain. This mother then raises her head. She sees her son. She calls him. She says, Son, be careful as you descend the mountain and these rocks. I am afraid you might trip, fall, and hurt yourself. Look at the heart of a mother, subhanallah. Musa alayhi salam raised his head. He said, My Lord, what is this mercy? What is this compassion? What is this love from this mother towards her son? After all he's done to her, she is still concerned about his well-being and his safety. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answered him. He said, Ya Musa, wa izzati wa jalali, ana ar'afu bi'ibadi min hadhihi al-um biwaladiha. Musa, I swear by my glory and my highness, I am more merciful with my servants than this mother is with her son. Allah's rahmah is so vast, so great. And we read in Dua Kumail, which is recommended to be recited tonight. What is the first sentence of Dua Kumail, brothers and sisters? Do you know it? Allahumma inni as'aluka bi rahmatika allati wasi'at kulla shay. Oh Allah, I ask you through your mercy that has encompassed everything. This is the mercy of Allah, our creator. Question to you, brothers and sisters. A creator who is so merciful, so loving, so compassionate, so forgiving. Isn't this creator worthy of us worshiping him, following him? Do you think such a merciful Lord, such a merciful God will impose upon us things that would harm us, that would not be to our benefit? When he tells us, for example, Salat is wajib, do you think he wants to bother us by making us wake up, for example, at 3 o'clock in the morning or 4 o'clock in the morning to pray Salatul Fajr? It is for our own benefit. When he says fasting is wajib in the month of Ramadan, do you think that he wants to give us difficulty by making us fast 15, 16, 18 hours, depending when the month of Ramadan is? Or rather, it is of his mercy to us to make us better people. Do you think when he tells us, I want you to be in good akhlaq, good manners, he wants to restrict our freedom? To the contrary, he wants to liberate us. With this context in our mind, brothers and sisters, keeping this in mind, that's how we should turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why Amir al-Mu'mineen salamullahi alayh says, Ilahi kafabi izzan an akuna laka abda wa kafabi fakhran an takuna liya rabba anta kama uhib faj'alni kama tuhib. O Lord, O God, it is enough of an honor for me to be your servant, to be your slave. When they ask you, who are you? I say, I am Abdullah, the servant of Allah. Some people, if they work, for example, or if they get some connection to the royal family, or for example, they get knighted, they become sir, official sirs. You find them, for example, taking pride that, you know, I got this honor, this connection to the royal family. Well, what about the connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Being Abdullah, it is enough of an honor to be your servant. It is a great pride to have you as my Lord. You are the way I like, so Ya Allah, make me the way you like. What a beautiful dua, right? That's the dua we need to pray these days. You can raise your hand and say, Ya Allah, you are the way I like, so make me the way you like. Anta kama uhib, faj'alni kama tuhib. Bi barakat as-salati ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. They were asking for Qiyam again. I'm sorry, brothers and sisters. Again, I'm sorry to get up. Please get up and try to move forward. Also, the sister side as well. Sister side, please move forward as far in as you can. Sallu ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Get up, please, brothers. Let's move forward, please. Let's try to do this. Again, I don't want to interrupt the talk, but I apologize. Sayyidina Habibi.
Allah, salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allah, salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
So, brothers and sisters, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Musa with the message, when he revealed the message to Prophet Musa salamullahi alayhi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we mentioned last night, we said that it is impossible for someone with some logic to comprehend that this whole universe came into existence without a maker, a creator, a designer, correct? This we, inshallah, managed to show some proofs for last night. Now that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the human beings, He created this universe, okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala equipped the human being with the intellect, reason, the aql. And the aql, we don't mean the brain. We mean the intellect, the ability to comprehend, the ability to reason. That aql in itself is capable of leading us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Some of the logical proofs we mentioned last night, if you remember. Logical proofs. Take a look at this world. This world has order. Order came probably from a design. So someone had to design, someone had to make. So my mind, my intellect, my reason can lead me to a creator, a maker. That's also referred to in the Quran as fitrah, our instinct. The instinct can take you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like the man who comes to Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam and ask him to prove to him that there is a God. He says, have you ever been on a ship? He says, yes, I have. I've traveled. Did you ever experience a storm? Yes, I have. When the ship started swinging to you back and forth to the point where you thought you're going to drown. And you lost all hopes of life. At that point of desperation, did you feel your heart is connected to a power? Or as our friend said last night, a source that can save you? He said, yes, that has happened to me before. He said, that is Allah. When you lose hope from everything in this dunya, and you're really now desperate, your heart will take you to Allah. And the Quran gives us an example. Remember the Pharaoh, when he was about to drown, what did he say then? Amen, I believe now. Now when he lost hope of everything, khalas, that's it, it's imminent. He realized that there is a God. He turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He started praying to Allah. So this is what's called fitra. The aql, the reason, our intellect can guide us to that. However, there is a limitation to our intellect. Our intellect cannot guide me to how does Allah want me to worship Him. Okay, I know He exists. What does He want of me? What does He want of my creation? So Allah needs to send people who can communicate to me what He wants of me. And those are the prophets. This is what is known among theological circles as God's felicitating grace, al-lutful ilahi, lutf. Allah's latif. Allah sent the messengers and the prophets to guide us, to teach us, and one of their principal teachings is such that we can establish justice on earth. We can deal with each other fairly. So Allah sent the prophets. He sent the messengers. Not only this, there is Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam in Nahjul Balagha lists reasons, five reasons in the first sermon of Nahjul Balagha. Why Allah sent the messenger. Among them is to remind him of his favors. Among them is so that they would be reminded of their instinct towards him, their faith in him. Amongst them is to bring out the teachings that are hidden. What does that mean, hidden teachings? Several meanings. One of them is that the essence of knowledge stems from the prophets. The essence of knowledge. For example, it is narrated that Idris, the prophet, was the first to write. So when people saw him writing, they asked him, "What is this? What are you doing?" He said, "The words that you guys are uttering, I am putting them down, transcribing them. That's what writing is about." They said, "Oh, can you teach us how you do that?" So and then he taught them how to write. People learn how to write. Quran tells us that Allah taught Dawood to make the shield. It is narrated that Luqman, Al-Hakim, the wise Luqman, he lived at the same time of Dawood, alayhi salam. Luqman came to visit Dawood, the prophet, one day, and he saw him making the shield. Iron and all that thing, putting it together. Luqman was about to ask him, "What is this? What are you doing?" But he said, "You know what? Let me be patient. I don't want to talk too much. I don't want to ask unnecessary questions. Let me be quiet and I will observe him. Maybe he will tell me." Indeed, Luqman stood there watching him until he finished making the armor. Dawood then took it. He looked at it. He said, "This is such a great protection at the time of war." Luqman said, "Alhamdulillah." Dawood asked him, "Why did you say Alhamdulillah?" He says, "I was about to ask you, what are you doing? What is this? But I rather said, you know what? I don't want to ask and talk unnecessarily. Allah made you tell me without me asking you." Here, just a very nice lesson, brothers and sisters. MashaAllah, some people, they are like a stereo, mashallah, when they talk. Non-stop, mashallah. Non-stop, they keep and sometimes when they type or they text or what they on social media, masha, non-stop. If it's unnecessary, just don't say anything. Keep it simple. Say something that is useful. Even when it comes to Islam, brothers and sisters, I gave a lecture once, and there is actually evidence to this. Take a look at Arabia. Arabia before our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi, was there a civilization? So from the time of Ismail alayhi salam till our Prophet, Arabia did not have a civilization, correct? Okay. It was, if we were to put at a graph, advancements on the y-axis and time on the x-axis. The graph would be dormant, 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 like this, a straight line until the Prophet comes. Correct? And then all of a sudden it shoots up. Within less than 100 years from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, Muslims started ruling 2/3 of the globe. Translating, teaching, educating, producing. Correct? There is something in Europe called Eurocentrism. What Eurocentrism suggests, you can read a lot about it. There are so many books about this concept of Eurocentrism. What Eurocentrism suggests is basically everything in this world started with Europe. Europe is the cradle of civilizations. Europe is the cradle of advancements. Europe is the cradle of the Renaissance. You had the Greek, so that's what they talk about. The Greek were there. The Greek, the Romans, and then all of a sudden, nothing. Nothing. And then you have the Renaissance. This gap of almost a millennium. Nothing. What happened in that gap? The Muslims were in the prime and the peak of their civilization. Civilization does not build except a step by a step. You know, when I first started doing research, when I wanted to do my chemistry research, the first thing my supervisor told me to do, he said, "What you need to do is go back and do what they call a literature research." What literature research means is you have to go back, see what people before you have done so that you can use it as a building block. so that you can build on top of that. There is no point of me repeating the research of someone else, correct? So research is really a building block. One step at a time. Look at your phones, for example, the phones that you carry. 30 years ago, 20 years ago, those of you, the older people, do you remember those phones, the brick phones? They were like a brick, mashallah, you carry it and you have to have like two people carrying it with you. That was the mobile phone. Today, look at it. Some people are recording me right now. I don't really know why are you recording me, brothers and sisters. The lecture is being recorded right now. It's live. You can look at it live. Try to pay attention to what I'm saying. May Allah bless you all. Jazakumullah khairah. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Inshallah, the lecture will be available online tomorrow, inshallah. So you know, there is no point. Just pay attention here. So your phones. They developed, right? So there was a stage of development, then it progressed. That's how research goes on. That's how science advances. We have the Greeks, and all of a sudden, the Renaissance. 1,000 years, nothing. That's what prompted one professor right now. He is a professor emeritus at McMaster University by the name of Dr. Al-Hassani. He wrote a book called 1001 Inventions. It became a global exhibition, exhibit. It's become an exhibit. Take a look at the book where he lists all the discoveries of Muslims. You can't ignore all this. All the basis of Muslims and their findings. They laid the foundation. Now, where was all this before our Prophet, Khatamul Anbiya, Muhammad? So you find our Prophet coming, and all of a sudden, technology, civilization, translations, they shot up. Even there is a British writer by the name of Thomas Carlyle. In 1840, he gave a lecture series titled The Heroes. They're available online. You can take a look at them. One of the heroes that he talks about is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allah sallallahu alayhi wa Muhammad wa alihi wa sallam. Where he says, it's amazing how this man within less than a century transformed Arabia from a bunch of nomads to a civilization that ruled 2/3 of the world, correct? So we really need to appreciate the prophets, the teachings of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. They were transforming, important, significant. When Musa alayhi as-salam was presented with this risala, with this message, he realized this is not a simple task. So what was the first thing he did? He prayed to Allah. He turned to Allah and asked dua. قال رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. O Allah, increase my patience. This is not an ordinary task. This is not something easy to be a prophet of Allah. Now I'm going to be dealing with people. And by the way, this is a very important message to any person dealing or working in a position of leadership. Imam Ali alayhi salam says, "As-sabr alatu riyasa." Patience is the essence of leadership. You're a leader, you have to be patient. You can't be a leader and the minute someone says to you, you explode in their face. You'll drive people away from you. So be patient. And by the way, it's a great virtue to have. If you don't have patience, train yourself. Train yourself. It's a habit. Develop it. Try one day to be, you know, you withhold yourself. Even once, if you can't. Once. The next day, within a week, maybe it will work twice. Eventually, it becomes a habit. These virtues could become habits. So try to develop it. First thing, Ya Allah, make me patient. Ishrah li sadri. Second, ease my task. This is not an easy task. It's difficult. But Ya Allah, I will leave it up to you. Help me with it. And وَحْلُ الْعُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي يَفْقَهُ قَوْلِي. This has two meanings. One, Ya Allah, when I speak, make people understand my message. Give me that eloquence, tawfiq. Second, on top of that, it is narrated that one day Musa alayhi salam, when he was 3 years old, he was sitting on the lap of the Pharaoh. Okay, so the Pharaoh is sitting, a three-year-old boy, cute little boy, nice. The Pharaoh had a beard. And then in this part of his beard, he had jewels dangling down. So Musa, three-year-old boy, looks up at this boy, this man, nice stuff, you know, shining gold, shining stuff. Musa, at the age of three, goes like this. Pulls it down, half of the beard of the Pharaoh falls off. The Pharaoh starts out, ah, this boy wants to kill me, kill him. His wife says, are you crazy? It's a three-year-old boy. What do you think he's, no, this boy wants, look, did you see, look at me, look at my face. Look what he did. She said, it's a baby. What are you talking about? He said, I will prove, I'm going to test this boy. She said, are you crazy? He said, no, I'm going to test him. What are you going to do? I'm going to put two plates, one plate with date, one plate with charcoal. If this boy is truly innocent as you claim, he will go after the charcoal because it looks nicer. But if he picks up the date, it means no, he understands. And he wants to kill me, I'm going to kill him. She said, Fir'aun, take it easy. What? Are you sane? She said, yes. And he makes the test. He puts two plates. Musa alayhi salam, when he reaches, he wants to reach, Jibra'il comes, takes his hand and puts it on the charcoal. So he picks up the charcoal, puts it on his tongue, and he throws it out. What that caused it is for him not to pronounce one of the letters properly because of his tongue. At that time though, Asiya, his wife, Fir'aun's wife, said, well, what now would you say? He's like, okay, maybe you're right. Sorry, you know, I guess this was an innocent mistake. Okay. So Allah protected Musa. That is that tradition as there. So when he said, Ya Allah, وَحْلُلْ عُقْدَةً مِنْ لِسَانِي, يعني, Ya Allah, make my tongue go back to its original state such that I can speak eloquently, people understand me. So there's these two interpretations. But the essence here, brothers and sisters, is the concept of dua. This is where we really want to go to. Dua. You see how dua is so important. When the Prophet Musa wanted to begin his journey, he began it with dua. Also, brothers and sisters, Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, on the morning of Ashura, if you read the books of history, he began his morning, he prayed Salatul Fajr with his companions, and immediately after praying Salatul Fajr, he looked up at the army of Umar ibn Sa'ad. He saw them coming like the flood. So he turned to Allah and he prayed a dua. اللهم أنت ثقتي في كل كرب ورجائي في كل شدة أنت لي في كل أمر نزل بي ثقة وعدة. To the end of the dua. It's a beautiful dua. You can find it online. You can find its translation as well. يعني basically what he's saying, Ya Allah, I leave my trust in you. You're the one who's helped me through my whole life. And you will help me today as well. He began his morning with dua. And he ended his life with dua. If you read again, moments before his martyrdom, salamullahi alayhi, as he was on the plains of Karbala and his cheek is on the sand, covered in his blood, even then, he turns to Allah. And that dua, and towards the end, Allahumma anta muta'ali al-makan, azim al-jabarut. Such a beautiful dua, full of meaning of tawheed. Praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In his final moments, in that state, he still turns to Allah and praises Allah. Yani he's thanking Allah, praising Allah for giving him this opportunity. Imam al-Husayn finds this calamity as an opportunity. Allah is choosing him to sacrifice and he's submitting for the sacrifice. Yet he turns to him and he prays to him and he remembers him. So my brothers and sisters, when we are faced with calamities, difficulties, let us turn to Allah. Pray. Dua soothes the heart, brings tranquility to the heart. In addition, dua teaches us valuable meanings about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ahlul Bayti alayhimus salam. In fact, every prophet, a sign of prophethood is to have a miracle. Every prophet has to have a miracle to prove to his nation, to his community, that he is a prophet of Allah. Musa alayhi salam, we talked about some of his miracles. He didn't just have one. Allah says he had 9. The snake is one of them. Isa alayhi salam had miracles. All the prophets had miracles. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had several miracles. But the everlasting miracle of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Holy Quran. That's everlasting. If the Quran is the everlasting and proof of the prophethood of our Holy Prophet, the du'as of our imams, the sermons of our imams, the speeches of our imams is among the proofs of their imamah. Take a look at Dua Kumail. What a beautiful dua. If you're feeling down one day or one night, pick up the dua, read it. It does not have to be on Thursday night. Yes, it's mustahab on Thursday night and on the night of the eve of the 15th of Sha'ban. But if you want to read Dua Kumail, let's say on Saturday morning or Sunday evening, there's no harm in this. Pick up the dua. And you come to these words, beautiful words. فَقَدْ أَتَيْتُكَ يَا إِلَٰهِي بَعْدَ تَقْصِيرِي وَإِسْرَافِي عَلَىٰ نَفْسِي مُعْتَذِرًا نَادِمًا مُنْكَسِرًا مُسْتَقِيلًا مُسْتَغْفِرًا مُنِيبًا مُقِرًّا مُذْعِنًا مُعْتَرِفًا لَا أَجِدُ مَفَرًّا مِمَّا كَانَ مِنِّي ولا مفزعا أتوجه إليه في أمري غير قبولك عذري وإدخالك إياي في سعتي رحمتك. Beautiful lines of forgiveness, asking Allah for forgiveness, tawbah. One of my friends, who's a known lecturer, he's older now, very old. He's an older lecturer and he has a good voice. Some of the satellite stations, they play his Dua Kumail that he's recited with his voice. He told me one day the story. He narrates it directly to me. He says, I was in Medina one day. I was in Hajj in Medina. And he says, 10 people who were from Sudan, the country of Sudan, they came to me. And they looked at me with my attire. They said, Salamun alaykum. I said, alaykum as-salam. They said, are you a Shi'i sheikh? I said, yes, I am a Shi'a sheikh. They said, oh, mashallah, salamu alaykum, how are you, so on and so forth. They said, we are 10 people from the country of Sudan, and we have become Shi'a. He said, how did you become Shi'a? He said, us 10, we are friends. And usually on weekends, on Thursday night, which is a weekend because Friday is the holiday in most Muslim countries, on weekends we gather at one of our friends' houses. We gather together. One night we were watching satellite TV, we're flipping channels, and all of a sudden we come across a channel which said Dua Kumail. We were like, what is this Dua Kumail? We stopped and we started listening to this Dua Kumail. They said involuntarily, we started crying. What beautiful words these are. What is this Dua Kumail? So when the Dua finished, we went online and we started searching. We found that Dua Kumail is the Dua of Amirul Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayhi, sallu ala Muhammad. Allahu sallu ala Muhammad wa alayhi. Right? Imam Ali has such a beautiful dua. We never heard of this before. What other du'as do Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib have? We started searching. We found du'a al-sabah. We found the munajat of Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullahi alayh. So we became Shia through the barakah of du'a al-Kumail. Then they asked this Sheikh, they said, and you know something, Sheikh? He said, what? They said, it's the person who was reciting the dua, that voice was such a beautiful voice, a melodious voice. We would really love to meet this Sheikh or this person who was reciting this dua. He said, what is the name of the person that was reciting? They said, Sheikh so and so, it was written. He smiled. They said to him, do you know him? He said, you're looking at him. You? Yes. They started hugging him, kissing him. They said, Jazakallah khair ya Sheikh. Subhanallah, out of all the people, they meet this man in Medina. Subhanallah. But the barakah of Dua Kumail turned people towards Amir al-Mu'mineen, salamullahi alayhi. So if you can imagine, think about these beautiful du'as that Ahlul Bayt left us with. How great they are. How beautiful they are. Let's start to get attached to them. As I mentioned a few nights ago, reading these du'a is soothing to the heart. Read the du'a of every day, Saturday, Sunday, Monday. Du'a Kumail. The du'as after every wajib salat. Get in touch with Allah. Get connected. Because these du'a draw you to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These days we have a big problem of mental health. People feeling depressed. Of course, there are degrees of mental health. There is mild depression, there is moderate depression, and then there is severe depression. I gave a lecture 7 months ago on mental health, and it's a very long lecture, about 1 hour, 45 minutes long. It's available online from here, from this Diwan al-Kafir. It's available online, you can give it. So I don't want to repeat the whole lecture again. I'll just say this. We all have the blues, as they say, you know, sometimes we don't feel down. That's there, we all experience it. Mild depression is when that persists for a few days and interferes with your tasks. With mild depression, they suggest that before resorting to therapy, try to do certain things. Among them is exercise, for example. Exercise is good. If you can go to the gym, go to the gym. Because exercising releases certain chemicals that would make you feel good. If you don't have time to go to the gym, take a walk, 15 minutes walk, half an hour walk, and come back home. It's good for spouses. For example, if the husband comes home, if the wife is feeling depressed, for example, the husband can take the children, the wife can go for a walk. A few minutes, relaxes, and comes back. Or vice versa. Among the recommendations they also say is watch your diet. Don't eat too much. When I read this, I said, subhanAllah, Quran said, kulu washrabu wala tusrifu. Eat and drink, but with moderation. Quran gave us these. In addition, they also say meditation. Meditate. Well, we have salat. We have Quran. We have dua. That's our meditation. That can be a cure for us. And Allah says, "Ala bi dhikri Allahi tatma'innul qulub." Surely with the remembrance of Allah, the hearts find peace and tranquility. When it comes to moderate depression, now of course, sometimes they say therapy is required. It could be psychotherapy. Go see a psychologist, talk to someone. Talk to someone and that will vent off a little bit. They can give you psychotherapy. With moderate depression, there, again, they say the symptoms are similar to mild depression. You feel down a little bit, lack of self-esteem sometimes. Some of these symptoms out there. Loss of appetite, There again, they say try certain interventions before the medical interventions. However, if you feel that medical intervention is necessary, then seek the medical intervention. When it comes to severe depression, however, if one, it usually starts with mild. If one does not look after it, treat it, look, take care of it, then it will progress to moderate, then it will progress, God forbid, to severe. In the severe case, then you're talking about hallucinations, delusions. Then it becomes serious. In which case, in most cases, medical intervention is necessary. You need to have medical intervention there. People sometimes have suicidal thoughts. That's severe case of depression. So for that, we need to really pay attention. And sometimes there are phone numbers that you can call and things for help. At the same time, try to stay positive, brothers and sisters. One good therapy is positive. Stay positive. How do I stay positive? Well, let me always think the cup is always half full, not half empty. I lost my job. Okay, you know what? This is not the end of the world. Let me think about what can I do now? Instead of me worrying, how am I going to pay my bills? How am I going to take care of this? Now, all of a sudden, I start having health problems. I didn't resolve my mental health problems. I added to them. Say, okay, you know what? Maybe Allah has a better plan. Let me look for a better job. And then you can apply for a better job. And ask Allah. In the process, you pray to Allah. You make dua. You put in the effort. So inshallah, that will help. Du'as help us with this. This takes me to an interesting point that we will end with inshallah. And that is something called Ismullah al-A'zam. Some people, they hear this, that there is a special name of Allah or names or attributes of Allah. If we call Allah through these names, immediately the dua will be answered. What is Ismullah al-A'zam? I will give three interpretations of it, and all of them are valid interpretations. One, hadith of Amir al-Mu'mineen, salawatullahi wa salamuhu alayh. He says, Ismullah al-A'zam is found in the first six verses of Surah al-Hadid. Surah al-Hadid. First six verses, and the last four verses of Surah al-Hashr. So recite the first six verses of Surah al-Hadid and the last four verses of Surah al-Hashr, which consists of Allah, the names of Allah. هو الله الذي لا إله إلا هو الملك القدوس السلام المؤمن المهان and so on and so forth. These are among the verses in Surah al-Hashr. And then after reciting the first six verses of Surah al-Hadid, the last four verses of Surah al-Hashr, raise your hand and say, Ya Allah, يا من هو كذلك صل على محمد وآل محمد وافعل بي and ask for your hajat. Say salawat and ask for your hajat. Inshallah the hajat will be fulfilled. He says that is the Ismullah al-A'zam. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. So does this mean if anyone reads those four verses and the six verses and the four, the du'as will be accepted? We come to the second point. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi was asked about Ismullah al-A'zam. He said all the names of Allah are Asma'ullah al-Uzma. Every name of Allah. Ya Wadud, Ya Subbuh, Ya Quddus, so on and so on. However, he says when a mu'min prays to Allah in the state of full-hearted, wholeheartedness, then his dua will be answered. What this suggests is means Ismullah al-A'zam is not just names that we utter. It's a state that we have to get into. We ask Allah in Surah Al-Fatiha, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Iyaka na'budu wa Iyaka nasta'in. It is you whom we worship and it is you whom we seek help from. So if we seriously, wholeheartedly turn to Allah, then dua will be answered. Allah says in the ayah that we always recite, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, أَمَّن يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرِ. O one who answers the call of the one in desperation. You're in the state of desperation, Allah will answer your dua. وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءِ. If you remember a couple nights ago, I mentioned I was in prison when I was in Hajj a few years ago. When you're in prison, And you're disconnected from the rest of the world. You have no idea what's going to happen. And you pray to Allah wholeheartedly. The faraj comes within less than 24 hours. But in that state where you really have no connection with the real world, you don't know what's going on behind bars on the other side. That's the kind. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرِ. And the third meaning of Asma'ullah al-Husna are Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Allah says, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. Allah has the virtuous names, so call Him through these names. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam says, نَحْنُ وَاللَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى. We are the virtuous names through which God can be discovered and understood. We are the means to reaching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And indeed, look at these du'as. I ask you one thing, brothers and sisters, this is to all Muslims. Do we have any of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, other than Imam Ali alayhi salam, who's given us a du'a like du'a Kumayn? Do we have any of the companions of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at-tabi'een, giving us any du'as like a sahifa sajjadiyah? Do we have any du'a like du'a al-Imam al-Husayn on the day of Arafah? I go back to my statement that I mentioned. These du'as are a proof of the imama of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Open Mafatih al-Jinan. Open Sahifa al-Sajjadiyah. Dua for rizq. Dua for children. It's a good dua to read. Dua number 25 in Sahifa al-Sajjadiyah. Dua for children. Dua 24. Dua for the parents. Dua for sustenance. Dua for akhlaq. Does anyone else have such duas? These are the proofs. So Imam al-Sadiq says, we are the ones, but you got to live the life of Ahlul Bayt. You live that life, then yes, indeed. You get into that state of being a follower of Ahlul Bayt, and you'll see the miracles, you'll see the wonders. And such were the 72 companions who were with Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Those great personalities, those heroes. Habib ibn Madahir al-Asadi, one great personality. He was 75 years old in Karbala. He was one of the sincere followers of Amirul Mu'mineen, salamullahi alayhi. On the day of Ashura, he was joking with Burair ibn Khudair al-Hamdani. Burair looks at Habib and says, Habib, this is not a time to joke. He says, my people know and God knows I never speak of vanity. Yani this joke that he was saying was real. It was not some, you know, knock knock joke. You know, it was something that they were joking about. Something real. What do you mean real, for example? I'll give you a quick example. A lady, old lady, comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi, and she says, ya Rasulullah, pray to me to go to Jannah. The Prophet smiles at her. He says to her, old people do not enter Jannah. Or people do not enter Jannah when they're old. So she started crying. She said, ya Rasulullah, it means I'm not going to go to Jannah. He says, yes, you will. But you will be youthful. You'll be youthful. This shows the beautiful side of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. You see the great akhlaq. The great akhlaq of mu'mineen. Mu'mineen are of this kind. They talk nicely, they talk in a, such a beautiful manner, but not in vanity. The Prophet did not lie or say some knock-knock joke. You know, and here Habib is talking to Burair and jokes in such manner. Burair says, this is not the time. He says, yeah, Burair, rather this is the time of being jolly. It is only a matter of an hour and we will be in Jannah with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Don't you think this is the time of joy? This is true content. This is happiness. You see that akhlaq? You see this aqidah? You see this iman? One other companion of Imam al-Husayn was one of the oldest. He was the oldest, 103 years old. A man by the name of Anas ibn Harith al-Kahili. He fought next to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wa in the battle of Badr. What a beautiful thing. He fought next to Rasulullah in Badr. And now he ends his life next to Abi Abdullah al-Hussein in Karbala. 103 years old. When he wanted to go to the battlefield, his eyebrows, you know, they were over his eyes. So he had to lift them up and put, you know, a band so that he can see. When Imam al-Hussein saw him in such a state, Imam cried. He said, Rahimakallah, ya Sheikh. May Allah have mercy on you. At this age, in this state, you're still defending us? He says, yes, ya Ibn Rasulullah, with full pride. He goes, kills three people, and then he gets killed, salamullahi alayhi. Anas ibn Harith al-Kahili. This is among the companions. Wahab, who was Christian, and he was a groom. He had just been married 2 weeks ago. Just got married. Through a story, he comes to Karbala, joins Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam with his new bride and his mother. And he becomes a Muslim, defends Imam al-Hussein, and gets killed in his path. Burair ibn Khudair, he was one of the sheikhs of Qurra, one of the teachers of Quran in Kufa. One of the teachers of Quran. These were the examples who were with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. He had those masters and he had the slaves whom he freed on the day of Ashura. There were no slaves who died with Imam al-Hussein as slaves. He freed them all and he told them, you can leave me, go, you'll get killed. But none of them left him. Amongst them was John. Although John was freed many years ago, earlier. John the African. He stayed with the Imam. He said, I will not leave you, Ya Aba Abdullah. And he died. Imam al-Hussein prayed for him. People, when they were walking by the body of John, they smelled beautiful fragrance coming from the body of John. Another one was a Turkish slave by the name of Aslam. Imam al-Hussein freed him. He said, go Aslam, you're gonna get killed. He said, I will never let go. I will never leave you. He fights. He falls on the plains of Karbala. Imam al-Hussein walks to him, to his body. Imam al-Hussein did not walk to every martyr. He walked to only a few of them. He walked to Aslam, the slave. Imam al-Hussein put his holy cheek on the cheek of Aslam. He did the same thing to his son Ali al-Akbar. You see the akhlaq? Yani Imam al-Hussein is telling us, mu'mineen, there is no difference, black, white, slave, poor, rich. These are all mu'mineen. So this is the spirit we need to carry. Take away arrogance from your heart. Look at people as equal. He puts his cheek on the cheek of Aslam. Aslam was dying. In his final moments, he opens his eyes. And what a beautiful scene he sees. The cheek of Imam al-Hussein is on his cheek. Imagine dying in such a state. He smiles and he says, من مثلي وخد ابن رسول الله على خدي. Who is like me and the cheek of the son of Rasulullah is touching my cheek. And he dies in such a state. Indeed, the companions of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam started going to the battlefield one after the other, getting killed one after the other. Each one of them, before he goes, he would come to the Imam and ask for permission. Sayyidi Aba Abdullah, do you give us permission to go and fight to defend you? And he says, yes, go ahead. You will reach Jannah before me, but I will meet you shortly. And this is how they used to go in groups, one after the other. One of them was a man by name of Muslim, Muslim ibn Awsajah. Muslim goes to fight in the battlefield bravely. Then he collapses on the plains of Karbala from all the wounds. Imam al-Hussein with Habib walk over to Muslim. And they find him in his final moments. Habib looks at Muslim. He says, Ya Muslim, it is difficult for me to see you in this state. And if I had known that I would be living much longer after you, then I would have liked you to give me your will. Muslim looks at Habib faintly. He says, Habib, I have a will to give you. He says, what is it, ya Muslim? Tell me. He raises his finger faintly and points at Al-Imam Al-Hussein alayhi salam. He says, Habib, Allah, Allah, بهذا الغريب قاتل حتى تقتل دون حبيب. Make sure you take care of Abi Abdullah Al-Hussein. Fight defending him, die defending him. Habib says, I will do so, ya Muslim. Imam Al-Hussein raises his hand and he says, Rahimak Allah, ya Muslim. May Allah have mercy on you, Muslim. You've defended us when you were strong and alive, and you made us your will as you are dying. Among the companions who turned sides was Al-Hur ibn Yazid al-Riyahi, who when he heard the words of Imam Al-Hussein alayhi salam, they came like a bullet to his heart. He went to Umar ibn Sa'ad, are you going to fight him? Why don't you let him go? He says, no, we have to fight him and we have to kill him. At that point, he started shaking, trembling. Hur, what is the matter with you? If they ask who is the bravest man in Kufa, we would not hesitate to say it is Al-Hur ibn Yazid al-Riyahi. He says, I am debating between myself, between going to Jannah and to the hellfire. I will never choose anything over Jannah. Kicks his horse, goes to Abi Abdullah al-Hussein, putting his head over his hand over his head. He says, Sayyidi Abu Abdullah, I am the reason to bring you here in Karbala. I am the reason what is going on is happening to you and to your family. But I did not know those enemies of Allah would do this to you. I am seeking tawbah. Do I have a chance to repent? Imam al-Hussein, like a loving father, looks at him and says, In tubt taballahu alayka ya hur. Indeed, if you are sincere in your repentance, then Allah will forgive you. He, when he hears these words, he becomes so happy, goes to fight, and then when he is heavily wounded, he collapses on the ground of Karbala. Imam al-Hussein walks to him. He says to him, Bakhin, bakhin laka. Then goes Wahab, the Christian man who was Christian, who became a Muslim. He comes to the battlefield. He asks Imam al-Hussein for permission. But beforehand, he asks his mom, Mother, do you give me permission to go and fight? His mother says, of course, my son, go. And I want you to make me proud in front of Fatima al-Zahra alayha salam. I want you to be killed defending Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. His wife held on to him. She said, Wahab, don't leave me. I am just your newlywed bride. How can I live in this world without you? His mother says, Wahab, go, go. He goes to Imam al-Hussein. He fights bravely. Then he gets four of his fingers cut. He comes back to the tent. He gives farewell to his mother. And then he wants to head back to the battlefield. Now something else happens. His wife comes with him. She says, Wahab, take me with you to the battlefield. I want to defend Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. Wahab says, just few moments ago, you were telling me you wanted to stay here. You wanted me to stay here. What changed you? What changed your mind? She said, Wahab, don't blame me. The cry of Imam al-Hussein tore my heart into pieces. What did you hear him say? Wahab was in the battlefield, did not hear the call of the Imam. He was engaged in the combat. What did you hear the Imam saying? She said, Wahab, I saw him standing alone in Karbala, crying, Hal min nasirin yansuruna.
هل من معين يعيننا؟ Is there anyone to support us? Is there anyone to defend us? When I hear this cry of Imam al-Hussein, I want to join you, Ya Wahab. Go get killed, but not alone. I want to be killed with you. Wahab turns to Imam al-Hussein, says, Ya Aba Abdullah, let her go back. Imam al-Hussein says, may Allah bless you, lady. Go back to the tent. After Wahab gets killed, she goes, she sits on next to the body of Wahab. Shimr, la'natullahi alayh, tells his slave Rustum, go kill her. So he goes and kills her. She becomes among the martyrs of Karbala, next to her husband. Then comes Abu Thumama Sa'idi later on. He says, Yayidi, ya Aba Abdullah, it is the time of Salat. And as much as I love dying defending you, but I would like to pray the Salat before I leave this dunya. Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam told him, Ya Aba Thumama, dhakarta Salat, may Allah make you among those who establish Salat. Yes, indeed, the Imam prays. As he prays, he keeps two people in front of him to protect those who are praying, to guard those who are praying. After the Imam finishes the Salat, those two people collapse. There were more than 20 arrows in their bodies. They stood firm. They would not let any of these arrows reach Abi Abdullah al-Hussein salamullahi alayhi. When they collapsed, one of them turns to the Imam. He says, Sayyidi Aba Abdullah, I don't feel I have done enough. Have I done enough? Imam al-Hussein says, may Allah bless you. You are gonna go to Jannah right now. And I will be joining you shortly. Then when all the companions left, there were only two brothers left with Abi Abdullah al-Hussein. They came to Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. They were crying. Imam al-Hussein said, why are you crying? Are you afraid of death? They said, no, Ya Aba Abdullah. We would be honored to die defending you. Then why are you crying? Listen, Ya Shia. Listen, O lovers of Imam al-Hussein. They said, Ya Aba Abdullah, we are the last two companions left with you. When we die, you will have no more companions left. That's why we're crying, Ya Aba Abdullah. We wish we can have another life to defend you, another life to fight for you. But it is only this one life. He says, may Allah have mercy on you too. Go ahead and give my salam to my grandfather, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayh. And they go and they get killed. At that point, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam says, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ قَضَى نَحْبَهُ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ يَنْتَظِرُ وَمَا بَدَّلُوا تَبْدِيلًا. And of them are those who fulfilled their obligations and those who are awaiting, and they did not change their intentions. He then started calling, هَلْ مِنْ نَاصِرٍ يَنْصُرُنَا؟ هَلْ مِنْ مُعِينٍ يُعِينُنَا؟ هل من طالب للجنة يطلبنا؟ قضوا حق عليهم وسط الخيام، ولا خلوا خوات حسين تنظر لما انتهى وفضخ الهام. وقف الصبط ويصيح الله أكبر. إيه نذرا علي لئن عادوا وإن رجعوا.
إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. والعاقبة للمتقين.
Oh Allah, with the barakah of Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad, make us among the sincere followers of Ahlul Bayt, Ya Allah. Grant us their shafa'a in dunya, in the qabr, in the akhirah, Ya Allah. Make us and our children until the day of judgment among their sincere followers and servants, Ya Allah. fulfill all the needs and the hajat of those who asked us to remember them in our du'as. Those who are ill, grant them quick and complete recoveries, Ya Allah. O Allah, hasten the reappearance of our Imam Ajjalallahu Ta'ala Farajahu Sharif and make us among his companions. Allahumma kun li waliyika al-hujjat ibn al-Hasan صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين لقضاء الحوائج شفاء المرضى كشف هذه الغمة عن هذه الأمة تعجيل فرج مولانا صاحب العصر والزمان وإلى أرواح أمواتنا وأموات الجالسين والحاضرين والشهداء والعلماء رحم الله من يقرأ السورة المباركة الفاتحة.